Welcome to today's deep dive. Our mission for you today is to explore a really fascinating stack of research all about the mechanics of human belief.
Yeah, it's a huge topic.
Right. We are going to journey from astrological anomalies all the way to digital metaphysics. And just to be clear, right up front, we are presenting this entirely impartially. We're looking at both mystical phenomena and the rationalist debunking of it without taking sides.
Just exploring the ideas exactly as they're presented in our sources.
Exactly. It's a wild ride of a topic, really getting to the core of how you perceive reality.
Right. So where are we starting?
Okay, let's unpack this with something you have probably seen trending online. I saw in the notes that our zodiac signs might actually be completely wrong right now. What is going on there?
It's a classic case of astronomy colliding with culture. Because the Earth's axis has shifted over the last two millennia, there is actually a 24-degree misalignment in Western astrology today.
So the stars aren't where they used to be?
When these signs were invented. Exactly. And every few years, this sparks a media panic over a supposed 13th zodiac sign called Ophiuchus.
Right, the one that supposedly falls between
November 29th and December 18th, yeah.
Cue the existential crises for all the Sagittariuses out there.
Right. But it's a total misunderstanding of how the system works. Western astrology is a seasonal, symbolic system. It's anchored to the equinoxes.
Okay.
It isn't actually based on the literal physical constellations in the sky today.
That tension between physical reality and belief gets even more intense when we look at modern spiritual phenomena, like the 1995 Hindu Ganesha milk miracle.
Oh, that was a massive global event.
It really was.
Yeah.
Worshippers were offering spoonfuls of milk to stone statues, and the milk was supposedly just vanishing.
Scientifically speaking, that is a perfect example of capillary action. The porous stone was physically absorbing the liquid.
But for the millions of people who witnessed it, it was a profound divine event.
Exactly. It's a fascinating clash of perspectives. And you see it again with reports from 1998 about a Tibetan Buddhist named Kenpo Acho.
Right. The rainbow body phenomenon.
Yes. Eyewitnesses swear that over the course of 7 days after he passed away, his physical body supposedly just shrank and dissolved entirely into pure light.
When you have physical phenomena like a shrinking body.
Yeah.
It inevitably attracts people trying to find the man behind the curtain.
Oh, for sure. If we connect this to the bigger picture, skeptics and magicians have built entire methodologies around dismantling fraud. Take the investigator James Randi.
He's a legend. What did he do?
He famously exposed the faith healer Peter Popoff. Randi discovered Popoff wasn't getting divine revelations at all. He was wearing a hidden radio earpiece to receive private information about the audience from backstage.
Wait, a radio earpiece? Like a chief spy trick?
Exactly like that. Then you have illusionists like Darren Brown who revealed how so-called psychic surgery works.
Oh, I've seen this. It's a sleight of hand thing, right?
Right. It's a gruesome sleight of hand trick using hitting chicken guts to simulate pulling a tumor out of someone.
Wow.
And Penn and Teller have powerfully demonstrated how the practice of cold reading actively exploits human grief.
That's where psychics use high probability guesses to make vulnerable people believe they're communicating with the dead.
Precisely. They prey on that vulnerability.
Here's where it gets really interesting, though. People still want to prove the supernatural exists, which has led to this massive rising ghost hunting pseudotech. You see investigators using EMF detectors assuming spirits manipulate electricity.
When in reality, those devices are usually just picking up a nearby cell phone or faulty wiring in an old house.
Right. There's even something called the God Helmet, which sounds like pure sci-fi.
It really does. The God Helmet uses low-frequency infrasound to artificially induce visions and a sense of a supernatural presence right in the brain.
Which brings up a great question. Why are we so drawn to these tools in the paranormal in the first place?
Carl Jung actually had a theory about this involving what he called the shadow.
Break that down for me.
Jung didn't think our obsession with the creepy or the occult was a sickness. He saw it as a healthy evolutionary tool.
Like a coping mechanism.
Yes, an evolutionary hack. It gives us a safe environment to project our own inner darkness and repressed fears out into the world onto ghosts or demons so we can confront them without being overwhelmed.
So what does this all mean for us today? Because it feels like traditional religious frameworks are shifting.
They are. We're moving into an era of techno-metaphysics where we use the language of computers to explain reality. Take David Lewis's modal realism, for instance.
The idea that if a world is logically possible, it actually physically exists somewhere out there as a concrete reality.
Right. Every what if is a real physical place.
That hurts my brain a little. What about Nick Bostrom's simulation theory? That one's been everywhere lately.
That's the hypothesis that our universe isn't base reality at all, but quite literally a computer construct run by a more advanced civilization. Ultimately, whether you look to a 2,000-year-old zodiac, ageless saints dissolving into light, or modern mathematical simulations, the core takeaway is the same.
Yes.
Your fundamental enduring drive to find the ghost in the machine is precisely what defines human consciousness.
Which leaves you with one final thought to mull over. If we are indeed living inside a computer simulation, do the advanced beings who programmed our reality have their own occult mysteries?
Oh, I love that.
And are they simulating us right now just to figure out their own metaphysical shadows?